This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today's guest is Cameron Dawson, who is a senior staff attorney at A Better Balance. A Better Balance has made groundbreaking efforts to transform the American workplace into one that promotes gender equality and no longer undervalues the important labor of caregiving. The underpinning of this organization is the idea that when we value the work of providing care, which has long been marginalized due to sexism and racism, our communities and our nation are healthier and stronger. To create a level playing field for mothers and all the caregivers in America, A Better Balance runs free legal hotline help, conducts extensive public education, and works in every corner of the country and Congress to pass and enforce critical work-family policies that will change the nature and makeup of caregiving. A Better Balance attorney, Cameron Dawson, works on policy, advocacy litigation, and public education on issues ranging from pregnancy accommodations to paid leave. Welcome, Cameron. Is there anything that you would like to add about A Better Balance and your mission? Oops, can you hear?
I think my internet is going in and out, so apologies for that.
Oh,
but
no.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. So
awesome.
A Better Balance. Now, anything that I missed in that introduction?
Well, Liza, you just about covered it. Like you said, I'm a senior staff attorney at A Better Balance, and we're a national legal advocacy organization, and we really do try to use our expertise in the law to combat discrimination against pregnant workers and caregivers. And a large part of that work includes advancing supportive work family policies like paid family and medical leave and paid sick time and flexible scheduling for caregivers. So we're really happy, you know, to share our main mission of using the power of the law to advance justice for workers so they don't have to choose between, you know, caring for their loved ones or themselves and jeopardizing their economic security and their paycheck. And so really excited to talk more with you today and share what's on the new bin for Wisconsin and folks in Wisconsin.
Well, I am really excited to have you. And you're absolutely right. No person in America should have to make a choice between caring for their loved ones or earning a paycheck. And from what I've read about your organization, you focus primarily on family caregiving and women's issues. Why these issues? Why are these so important?
And I will say, you know, Liza, at the time of A Better Balance's founding in 2005, we really weren't having these conversations about work-family balance in a holistic sense, in an inclusive sense. Those conversations may have been about the professional high income earning women, and it really did ignore the experiences of many working women who were in low wage, often physically demanding jobs. And those jobs that included retail or fast food or even the middle class workers who may not have had access to those policies. And when we were founded, it was in part to really correct that and add to the conversation, really making it clear that a better balance should be achievable for all workers. And it's really not done until all workers could care for themselves and have access to those protective policies, no matter their zip code or their job. And they could take care of themselves and their loved ones without risking their economic security or making that impossible choice. And I just want to say too, you know, it's very important as a woman to be in this work because we know that women in this country still bear the brunt of caregiving responsibilities. And most often than not, women of color have historically maintained that role of being a primary breadwinner or co-breadwinner for their family. So it's more, you know, important now more than ever to advocate for these policies and begin this work through legal reform to serve all families with that racial and gender equity piece in mind.
Absolutely. And I would love for you to be able to use this as an opportunity to share some of those accomplishments and differences that A Better Balance has made along the way.
Yes. And it's surprising to think that we have been in place for almost, you know, more than a decade. And this year, we've really seen a lot of accomplishments with our partners, including that A Better Balance was proud to have launched and led advocacy efforts for the past 15 years to finally pass the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, which makes it clear that employers that have 15 or more employees need to provide reasonable accommodations to allow pregnant and nursing workers to continue working while maintaining their healthy pregnancies. And the law went into effect on June 27th, so it's been a few months now, and we've partners across the country in educating workers about their rights. So if a pregnant worker has a physical or mental condition related to their pregnancy, or they need time off to recover from childbirth or a related medical condition, they're able to request that reasonable accommodation from their employer and receive it unless it would pose an undue hardship, meaning it would be too expensive or difficult to provide. And that took 15 years of advocacy with state and federal partners, maternal health advocates, caregivers, and parents sharing their experiences and their stories with legislators. And we're really excited to see that come to fruition this year. And I just want to say, too, that, you know, we've also been proud to work and see the passage of the PUMP Act, which provides that reasonable break time and space for nursing mothers in the workplace. And it also expands, you know, access to more than 9 million previously excluded nursing mothers who may have worked at a teacher or as a nurse and were previously excluded under federal law. So we're excited to see these new expansions for working mothers really help advance maternal health, but also make sure that workers are connected to the workforce and businesses know, you know, how to accommodate them. And I think we've been able even more so this year to see advancement of paid family and medical leave programs. Right now, we're up to 13 states and Washington, D.C., that have these paid medical leave programs. And we're also seeing paid sick time policies advance and pass in 16 states and dozens of jurisdictions. And we can't do this work without working in coalition and collaboration with legislators and fellow advocates across the country. So, you know, we've seen nearly 60 million workers who previously did not have a single paid sick day at work now be covered by these state or local paid sick time laws, which is really amazing and goes to, you know, our main mission and really making sure that these policies help advance health and also, you know, economic security for families.
Well, thank you so much for the work that you do. And it is kind of mind-boggling to me the time that it takes for some of these proposals to gain momentum and get passed into law. And it takes a village. I mean, the more people we have working on these issues, the more people we have aware, the further the reach and the faster we can come along. Can you tell people in Wisconsin how they could get involved in the work if they wanted to work towards making a difference for caregivers?
Absolutely, Liza. And there's a few ways I'll just note for folks. You know, I tell people if the power of your lived experience and your story matters most. And so people can start by getting involved by sharing their experiences. If you are a worker in Wisconsin and have questions about your rights in the workplace, or if you're interested in sharing your experience with A Better Balance, you can contact our free and confidential legal helpline. And that's at 1-833-633-3222. You can also, you know, join our community advocate program where you meet other folks who are sharing their experiences and speaking out about these issues to push for change in their community. And I think we're also working with a coalition of partners in Wisconsin and really proud to collaborate with our partners at 9to5 Wisconsin to advocate for a paid leave program here in the state. And so you can join the Wisconsin Care Coalition and learn more about that at paidleaveforwi.org. And they have information about these opportunities, how to write a letter to your legislator, or simply just joining in for updates. But there's no action too small. We definitely need people to get involved in this work.
You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I'm your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today, I'm speaking with Cameron Dawson, an attorney at A Better Balance. A Better Balance is a national organization that is working to transform the American workplace into one that promotes gender equality and no longer undervalues the important labor of caregiving. I will make sure, Cameron, that I get those phone numbers and websites on my Facebook page later this evening or tomorrow morning. But I want to just go back to your website, because you have on there this quote that I love: because caregiving is treated as a private concern, the labor it involves becomes invisible, and the caregivers form part of an invisible labor force. One of the biggest challenges that I have in my caregiver advocacy journey is getting caregivers to realize that they're caregivers. This is often seen as a familial duty. Can you help me explain to those who might not get it why they are worthy of support and resources and advocacy efforts, even if they just see themselves as a parent, son, daughter, what have you?
And I definitely agree that, you know, we have for a long time as a society really not put proper value and investment in caregiving and in the act of, you know, giving care for our families, ourselves, even in our mental and physical health. And for those that work in the care workforce, we have seen, you know, throughout the last decade that essential workers have not been properly given the value and investment that they need. And I do think that for caregivers, you're not just simply a caregiver, you're a hero to your family. You are the backbone of this country. And it's important to really provide those resources and support for caregivers, because they really do set the foundation for our next generation of leaders and for our society as a whole. And I think it's really sad to see caregivers feel isolated and ignored, you know, largely due to those systemic problems.
There is so much work to be done. And when we come back, we are going to talk about paid family and medical leave and how Wisconsin compares to the rest of the nation in supporting family caregivers. You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today's guest is Cameron Dawson, who is a senior staff attorney at A Better Balance. A Better Balance has made groundbreaking efforts to transform the American workplace into one that promotes gender equality and no longer undervalues the important labor of caregiving. The underpinning of their organization is the idea that when we value the work of providing care, our communities and our nations are healthier and stronger because of it. To create a level playing field for all mothers and caregivers in America, A Better Balance runs a free legal helpline, conducts extensive public education, and works in every corner of the country and Congress to pass and enforce critical work family policies that will change the nature and makeup of caregiving. Cameron, I want to ask you about paid family and medical leave for caregivers. But before I do that, I want to address that not all families are the same. You have on your website, This Is My Family. It's a campaign where people can tell stories about what their families look like. According to your website, 80% of U.S. households, I found that really shocking. I did not know. 80% of U.S. households aren't represented by the nuclear family model of a married husband and wife and their children. Why is it important that this fact is addressed in the work that you do?
Yes, and I think with the This Is My Family project, it really has been a labor of love with the Family Justice Network and the Family Values at Work and a Better Balance really want to highlight that every family is different. And because the generations and extended relatives and the responsibilities of caring for loved ones that may not even be related by blood or marriage has really become an increasing thing that we've seen in families. Every family looks different. And so in times of need, it's really important that we recognize those families in our policies, and workers should be able to care for and be cared for by those that they consider closest to them, regardless of their legal or biological relationship. And I think we've really been able to realize that many caregivers are youth. They're ages 18 to 24, and they may be caring for multiple family members while also working full-time jobs and, you know, sustaining that economic security for their families. And especially now, we've seen that young adults have become a large portion of caregivers, and highlighting their stories through the This Is My Family campaign has really helped folks see the importance of those stories. And I found it incredibly impactful to hear Magalie's story that's featured on the website, where she talks about caring for her brother who was injured in a car accident. And she felt like she couldn't juggle the responsibilities of working and caring for him in the hospital. And her job ultimately did not offer paid leave. So she had to work with her family members to really, you know, show up and care for her brother. But she felt at times at work, there was nothing that could be done for her because no one wanted to hear her experience. So listening to those types of personal stories really does bring their experiences to light for elected officials and makes it that much more important. So if folks are interested, they could check those stories out at the thisismyfamilyusa.org website.
I love that. And again, it's so important. It's these stories that matter. It's these stories that make a difference. It's these stories that touch people's hearts to get them to take the next step. So I encourage everyone to go in and share their story. Cameron, a passion of mine is raising awareness on the need to create caregiver-friendly workplaces. Let's start out with this paid family and medical leave. I know that you're not located in Wisconsin, but could you speak to how our family and medical leave policies differ or compare to other states?
Sure. And I will say our legal team is working with advocates in Wisconsin, and we work across the country. Even though I'm based here in Nashville, Tennessee, I think we've really recognized the critical measures that paid family and medical leave can have on caregivers in Wisconsin. And currently in Wisconsin, there is no paid family and medical leave program under state law, but Wisconsin does have its own type of Family and Medical Leave Act, which covers, you know, some employees who work for a business with 50 or more employees, and they've worked there for a year and have worked at least, you know, 1,000 hours in their past 12 months. And family and medical leave can really be used for things like caring for yourself while you are taking time off to go to the hospital for a serious illness, or if a family member is receiving critical treatment for care, or even if you have recently adopted or given birth to a child and need time to take to bond with that child or care for them after birth. And so it's really important to see how having that time off is critical, but a lot of families can't take that time off unpaid. If the leave does begin within the 16 weeks of their birth or adoption, they can take it. But it's really critical for that leave to be paid, as many families are depending on those paychecks to buy things like diapers and, you know, pay for their bills. So I do want to say that with the Wisconsin Family and Medical Leave Act, it is a little bit different from the federal FMLA. It does provide less time off than the FMLA. And so when we talk about ways to really advance health and equity, it's really important that we have a comprehensive program that provides 12 weeks off, not just 6 weeks to care for a child or 2 weeks to care for a family member. We want to make sure that folks have 12 weeks to care for whatever purpose they need, and that they can also, you know, have their health insurance and benefits while they're taking that time off. So that's just a little bit about the Wisconsin program.
Sure. And can you tell me why? Okay, I get it. Why this is important to families. Families need this. We need to be able to take care of our loved ones and pay our bills. But how do we get business owners to get it when they are only thinking bottom line?
And I think that's the critical piece there, is the bottom line. Studies have shown that paid family and medical leave really is a critical retention tool. And it also saves money on the back end for businesses when they do implement these policies. And like I said earlier, about 14 states, that's 13 states in Washington, D.C., have enacted these policies in their state. And they have shown that businesses, they either experience a positive or a neutral effect on their business, and they're able to reduce, you know, some benefits and actually save from having their employees not be on public assistance and instead be on the paid family and medical leave.
Well, now, not only public assistance, but up and quit, right? If you can't have access to the leave you need, and you know your family comes first, it's got to come first. It trumps everything else. So then they have to up and leave. And yeah, you're right. You're talking about placing hiring ads, training, all that expense that goes along with filling that position. So it absolutely makes business sense to me. It's unfortunate that we're slow moving in that area. You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I'm your host, Liza Hellenbrands. Times are changing, and with that, people's needs are changing. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about what the future of the workplace needs to look like to accommodate our changing times. You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today's guest is Cameron Dawson, who is a senior staff attorney at A Better Balance. A Better Balance works to create a level playing field for mothers and all caregivers in America. They run a free legal helpline, conduct extensive public education, and work in every corner of the country and in Congress to pass and enforce critical work-family policies that will change the nature and makeup of caregiving. Cameron, I think this all comes down to the fact that society is changing. Gender roles have changed, costs have changed, technology is continually changing. The amount of information and daily tasks that we must process and deal with is always changing. And for specifically women, the list seems to be growing and growing and growing. With all of this in mind, what does the ideal workplace of the future look like? And when I say future, I know it needs to have been done, you know, years ago. But what is it? What would your ideal workplace of the future look like?
Yes. And I'd even say, I mean, the future is now. So even in the next few months and next year, hopefully, starting the trend of really making it where the workplace is an open space to talk about your family, talk about your caregiving needs, and share, you know, your mental and physical stresses without feeling like you're going to be discriminated or bias is going to stop you from being promoted, or your employment is going to think that you no longer care about your job because you have family needs. And I think, like you said, a lot of us are going to be caring for someone at some point in our lives, or going to need that care ourselves. For me personally, I think about what are the ways that I can make my job work for me while I care for my parents or my grandparents and other family members that I love. So I just hope that in the future, we don't have to fear starting that conversation, but the workplace can really be a conducive hub and more of a collaboration versus an adversarial experience for caregivers in the long run.
Well, you know, there are so many issues today in society where I feel we're going totally back in time, totally backwards, wrong direction. And, you know, so I know that this is going to be hard for some people to grasp. You know, they think work is one thing, family is another. They don't intertwine. If you can't do it, get a different job, yada, yada, yada. So how do we get Americans across the nation to buy into this? Because believe it or not everyone goes along with what is in their best interest.
Right. And I think it really is showing that it's not, these policies and more are not that hard to implement. And it really does, you know, create better health, better wellness, and also more economic security. And so we've seen time and time again that these policies are becoming increasingly popular with youth workers, with majority of workers across the country. When we do poll voters in the United States, they recognize the need for paid family and medical leave and sick time, regardless of their political party. So I think it does, you know, really start with sharing experiences from Americans across the nation and showing that it's not just you going through this. You don't have to go through this alone, but this can really be changed through policy. And it's in their best interest for the legislators of our country to get involved.
Absolutely. I mean, I just think of the people that are out there cringing like, oh, this is a snowflake idea. And I just want to scream, no, it's not. You know, bringing this into the workplace, acknowledging that people have a whole other job outside of working, and how can we make this work for both of us is crucial. Because go wait in line for anything, anywhere in America, there's a wait. There aren't the workers. The workers aren't always there. So making these changes and making places caregiver friendly really benefits everyone. You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I'm speaking with Cameron Dawson, who is a senior staff attorney at A Better Balance. A Better Balance works to create a level playing field for mothers and all caregivers in America. Cameron has been talking about how the future workplace needs to look better to support women and family caregivers. But how do we get the politicians to support their own constituents? I mean, we are talking primarily about a bunch of old white men. How do we convince them to see the value and take action on supporting the invisible workforce, which is really the backbone of our nation?
Yes. And I think, Liza, we have seen time and time again, these policies cannot pass without bipartisan support. And what's really brought support across the aisle, you know, this is not a partisan issue. This is an issue that affects families of all sizes, whether you're in a rural community or in an urban setting, whether you're low income, middle income, or high income, the need for paid family and medical leave is going to come. And so having constituents talk to their legislators about their needs, why they lacked paid family and medical leave, and how that impacted their family, their futures, really does bring legislators to support these issues. And as I've said before, you know, we see that more folks are connected to the workforce, and it does decrease the employee turnover by providing these policies, which benefits not just individuals, but also businesses, small and large. So I think legislators really do value the workforce, and seeing those stories really makes caregivers less invisible and brings them to the forefront, because they are our backbone of the country.
Yeah. So again, it goes back to sharing your story. And, you know, while you were talking about this, I had so many thoughts going in my ADD brain. And, you know, one of them is caregivers, I think, are just really a humble group of people. You know, I was just thinking about all of the different groups, especially nowadays, which is great, out there really advocating, we want this, we need this, do this. And here we are, people working two full-time jobs, running on empty, wallets are empty, and we don't even identify as caregivers. So I just feel like there's so much work that needs to be done around these issues. And again, can you let listeners know where they can go to find you and how they can jump on board?
Yes, and definitely starting the trend and the movement. This is not just a moment, but a movement of wearing caregivers as a badge of honor. So you can visit abetterbalance.org to learn more information about what paid family and medical leave is, what these policies are like in your state in Wisconsin, and what your rights are. And you can also go there to support A Better Balance's work and make a donation if you do feel called. But we really do want to encourage workers to share their experience. And we do offer support in English and Spanish at our helpline. So if you are interested in your rights or just joining our advocacy efforts but don't know where to start, feel free to reach out to us, and we're happy to help. And I think, you know, we definitely need more folks in this movement. We cannot just continue to see the same things happen over and over. So we're excited for all to come and visit our resources.
And I encourage everyone to go to A Better Balance and see what they have to offer. You know, Cameron, I'm going to throw you on the spot. I know I gave you a lot of time to prepare for these questions, but we have a few more minutes. And so I like to ask, what are three things that you wish all caregivers knew?
So I would say, for me, I wish caregivers knew that, you know, the experiences, the feelings, the mental stress and anxiety and the day-to-day experiences they have are valid and they are real. And there are resources out there, you know, to help support caregivers. And even if there are not resources that you personally need, it's always a group or an organization that is interested in helping you along the way. So whether that is community support or organizational support, you know, always reach out. And I would also say that we need more advocates like you as a caregiver. There's nothing too big or too small to do. Even writing a letter or joining a sign-on is enough. And so I encourage folks to do that and participate where they can. And three, I would just say, you are enough. As caring for your family, you are doing everything that you can do, and that is enough. And you're really the backbone of our country.
I love that. And I love that you ended with you are enough, because that's perfect. And I get a lot of you're not alone, which is good, which is comforting. But I think a lot of caregivers feel like they're not enough, that they're not doing enough, that they're not doing it right, you know, that they're failing in so many different arenas. So thank you for that. I do want to, there's two things that are kind of tossing back and forth in my mind. One is the Unseen documentary. Since we have some more time here, I just want to, that's where I ran into you. So a few weeks ago, I did a show with two filmmakers. They made the documentary Unseen. Cameron, correct me if I'm saying this wrong. Unseen, How We're Failing Parent Caregivers and Why It Matters.
Yes.
And you were on that documentary. So I'm just curious, some of your takeaways from the documentary, what you learned from it, or, you know, even how you got to be on the documentary itself.
Sure. And I met Amanda and Tom through just the initial stages of them creating the documentary. And they really just wanted to learn more about what laws were in place, either on the federal level or the state level, to support caregivers. And through our conversations, we were all shocked and angry that there were not many. And so, you know, really one of the takeaways I received was that there are more social supports that are needed for caregivers in the community, whether that be mental resources or financial resources that are needed across this country, but also just having the right to receive accommodations and not face discrimination in the workplace before you are forced to leave your job because of your caregiving responsibilities. Some of the testimonies from folks in the video, in the documentary, were really facing hostility from their workplace when they did, you know, initially work at their job and bring up their first needs for accommodations. And so it really does encourage me to work more actively on federal and state legislation that supports caregivers who are still able to work in a business or for themselves. So I really did appreciate the opportunity to be in the documentary and encourage everyone to see it.
I encourage everyone to see it as well. And I know that they had many different caregivers share snippets of their story, but the family that they followed, the Ronnies, I believe it's the Ronnies, they were in an intense caregiving situation, and I just feel like we've got to start with them first. These are people that cannot leave the house without somebody there to care for their son.
Right.
So my heart just goes out to them because the hopelessness that they must feel. What would you know, I'm talking about a genie out of a bottle type of thing, right? I know we're far from here, but what do you think would best support that population, the population that really cannot leave the home because either their loved one is hooked up to equipment, machines, or has such behavioral needs that it's not safe?
Yep. And I would definitely say, Liza, that as we're seeing more financial supports and credits and certifications for home health caregivers, that seems to be, you know, one of the critical supports for families who do have to stay in and deliver that healthcare. Proper certification and compensation, you know, for those families is definitely needed.
Absolutely. That is a wonderful, and you know what? Absolutely doable first place to, place to start to help these people that are really, really struggling. Thank you so much, Cameron, for your time today. I appreciate it, and I will reach out to you to get all of the resources that you shared so that I can post them on my social media so everyone can get connected to you.
Thank you, Liza. I appreciate it so much.
Take care. You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand, and I was just speaking with Cameron Dawson from A Better Balance, and the Better Balance is making groundbreaking efforts to transform the American workplace into one that promotes gender equality and no longer undervalues the important labor of caregiving. So their work is crucial. I'm sure a donation will go far, if not monetary. There are plenty of ways to volunteer and to get involved. So check them out at A Better Balance. And I want to shift gears here and share some good news for the state of Wisconsin. Assembly Bill 259 and Senate Bill 263, both which would allow participants in the senior care program to obtain 100-day supply of prescription drugs instead of the current 34-day limit for most types of prescription drugs was recently signed into law by Governor Evers. And so that impacts the senior care program. And senior care helps older adults pay for prescription drugs and vaccines. To enroll in senior care, you must be a Wisconsin resident, a U.S. citizen or qualifying immigrant and 65 years or older. You can enroll in senior care no matter what coverage you have, except you cannot be a member of a full benefit Medicaid program like Badger Care Plus. So senior care will coordinate coverage with your other insurance, and that includes Medicare Part B or D. You can apply for senior care the month that you turn 65, and once you're 65, you can apply at any time. Your coverage will begin the month after application, and you must renew your coverage annually, to stay in the program. The enrollment fee for that is $30 a year, and your annual income determines how much your prescription drugs cost. Annual income determines how much of your prescription drug costs senior care will cover. Close to 100,000 Wisconsinites benefit from senior care. And if you would like to learn more, go to www.dhswisconsin.gov and search for senior care. To join me next week, I have Bren Seaman from the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. She is going to talk about the work that they do and our new sponsorship. So I want to give them a big shout out and thank you for believing in the work that I'm doing and making that financial contribution. If you would like to get your business behind supporting family caregivers and to be a sponsor of the show, please email me at liza@civicmedia.us. liza@civicmedia.us. I also want to encourage everyone to find me on Facebook at The Empowered Caregiver. Currently, that's where I go to post all this follow-up information and to let you know about upcoming guests and various articles that will support family caregivers. So you can find me on Facebook. You can also find me on Instagram and LinkedIn. And I also would like to put out in these final few moments just a casting call for future episodes. I have covered a lot of different types of caregiving topics in the almost 2 years that I've been doing this, but there are still a lot of people out there that are being missed, and I would absolutely love to hear your story. I know I sound like a broken record, but the stories are what matter. They're what make a difference. In one area that I haven't really touched in those caregiving stories is those around mental health and or addiction struggles. I know that there are a lot of people out there that are taking care of someone that has mental health issues and or addiction struggles. And my heart goes out to you. I can't imagine how difficult that would be. And I would love to hear your story and what we need to do as state, a society, a whatever, to make differences, because you know more than anyone what needs to be done. I would also love to hear from those caregivers that are running their own business or have their own side hustle. I talk a lot about caregiving and working on how it's difficult. And I think many of those that were forced to throw in the towel or forced to kind of look for some other additional income, do the side hustle thing. So one, I would love to hear about it. And two, I would love to be able to support you on air so that others can support you as well, because we need to support each other. I think that's my underlying theme here. If you would like to share your story on either of those issues, either anonymously or right here next to me, most likely via Zoom. Again, feel free to reach out at liza@civicmedia.us. As much as I could talk about caregiving facts all day long, I know it's these stories around this great state that matter and make changes. So shoot me an email. You can find me on Facebook and share your story. And that is all that I have to say today regarding caregiving issues. Actually, that's not all I have to say. I could talk about this for hours and hours, but I know that I have a few minutes left. If you want to shoot me a text or give me a call on the line, go ahead. Otherwise, you know what, Nate? I'm going to have to bring you in. Kicking and screaming because I'm all out of fresh ideas and 1 minute to go.
You'll never have to drag me kicking and screaming just to talk on the air.
All right. So tell me your thoughts. What has it been like working, producing the show?
It's been very informative. You know, I have been well aware of the caregiver crisis that's been hitting our state for a little while now. I have had a lot of family personally who have worked in caregiving in one way or another, or have needed it in one way or another. So it's been really nice and enlightening to hear everyone's stories and the variety of stories that get brought in as well.
There are a lot of topics when you're talking caregiving that opens a whole Pandora's box of areas we can go, things that need to be talked about, advocacy work that needs to be done, the social empathy that goes a long way in caring and supporting for your neighbors. That is what I am about. And I know that caregiving can be difficult and challenging, and I want you to know that you absolutely got this, and I will see you next week.